If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. I want to share with you this morning four steps in developing Christian character, which affects our marriages, our home, and our family. Our subject for all summer has been messages on the home and the family and the marriages. It's become obvious to us, to a couple of couples in the church that have that need right now, a touch from God to be able to keep their marriage together. There's another family that is connected by their parents or in the church here that are in the same boat. So we really need God's help in these intervention in these things. One of our families has a brother-in-law who's under the spell of alcohol and has been destroying his home. So we want to pray for him. And probably everybody here knows somebody that has this kind of a need. We want our homes to be built up strong so we don't have that kind of need in our marriage and home and family. Ephesians 5 and verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, as we pray this morning, we ask that you'll guide us in the Word. Feed your people, I pray, from the Scripture. And Lord, if there's someone who's lost, that they might have understanding of their great need today. Lord, we are all dependent upon you, and we ask for your help. We ask for your guidance this morning. I pray that when the people of God leave the church today, they'll say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. I've learned something. I've drawn closer to the Lord because of the Word and the songs and the attitude in the church. And I pray, Lord, that we will be able to do that today because of your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. People today follow traditional things and views of life, either a secular worldview or a biblical view. Many follow superstitious things and old wives' fables. And Paul warned Timothy to avoid those kind of things. I guess if I've heard it one time, I've heard it 100 times from people that drank alcohol. Well, Jesus drank. He said over in the Bible, take a little wine for your stomach's sake. A little wine is a spoonful. And they put it in water. And they drank it to help with stomach issues. And that's pure grape juice, which is a wine that can, over a period of time, have a slight alcoholic content. If you drink a gallon of it, you get a buzz on. But if you drink a glass of it, it's not much more than drinking grape juice. But many follow these kind of traditions and they use these things in their life. I hear all the time from ladies, I'll dress like I want to. Well, you go right ahead, but it's up to you. Whether you're pleasing God or not is a matter of what you do. If you're not being moral, If your attitude and reason for doing things is to be sexually attractive to men, then you're violating a biblical teaching. You're free to choose what you want, but you're not free to get away with not having consequences of your actions before God. Many say, I'm too busy for church. I'm too busy for the Bible. I don't have time to read and study. I got other things to do. Yeah, like sit on the couch and watch TV for 3 or 4 hours a night. That's what you've got to do, that you're too busy to come to the house of God. Many are following that kind of lifestyle. Paul warned Timothy about not listening to that kind of teaching. As Christians, we ought to have a consistent walk in our life. Sure, we're going to fail. Sure, we're going to fall. Sure, we're going to get discouraged. Sure, we're going to get angry and make some wrong decisions. But when we do, as a Christian, we're convicted about it. And we confess it to God and we get His forgiveness and we start over and God helps us. James warns that we shouldn't be like zigzagging in our life. He said, if you're like the waves of the sea, if you toss this way and then toss that way, that don't let a man like that think he'll get anything from the Lord. Prayer will not be answered when you're inconsistent in your faith, vacillating between moral life and selfish behavior. So we're given four steps here in a way to achieve Christian character that will result in a blessing to us and to others and will please God. First of all, he said, walk circumspectly, using wisdom, not foolish behavior, walking accurately, walking carefully, walking exactly, because there are a lot of problems in the world, a lot of dangers, a lot of traps. I saw somebody post a picture the other day in Rock Hill of a rattlesnake they were holding up. And that's about the third one that I've seen that people have found rattlesnakes in the area of York County. We never had rattlesnakes before. There are timber rattlers in South Carolina, but they're usually down in the lower part of the state around Charleston or swamps or things like that. But these were diamondback rattlesnakes, and they're extremely dangerous, extremely large, and they can be a serious problem. You know, if you're going to walk through the bushes in the woods, you need to walk carefully. You need to watch where you step. You need to keep your eyes open. And it isn't just a matter of snakes in this day and time. You got ticks and spiders and mosquitoes and all of that sort of thing that will create health issues that you have to be careful for. And I never have understood about keeping mosquitoes away. They love me. They like fat meat, you know. Big people sweat outside, and my body temperature gets up, and boy, they'll start buzzing around my ears. They love me. And, you know, if you use that stuff with the DEET in it, put it all over your hand, smear it all over your head, and get it in your eyes, and all that can't be good for you, you know. I mean, you probably have skin cancer 20 years from now because you use that stuff, you know. But we got to walk carefully. And we have to do that in the spiritual life. Once a person is saved, their views begin to change. I remember before I got saved, I was working out here at my Catawba Nuclear Plant as a welder, and some guys brought up the subject of homosexuality. They said, what do you think about homosexuality? And, you know, my answer was what several people's was. Well, you know, it don't bother me. If that's what they want to do, let them do that. But, you know, as long as it don't affect me, then I don't care. Well, a week later, I got saved, and one of the guys in the crew who was a Christian came to me and said, you still feel the same way about homosexuality? I said, no. I said, the Bible says it's a sin. You know, it's horrible, terrible, abomination to God. I was taking a biblical view then. My views changed. My ideas changed. The way I wanted to live changed because I wanted to stop failing and start pleasing God with my daily life. The Holy Spirit makes us aware of our walk in daily life. Now, we fail often. We disobey. We let something happen, with circumstance beyond our control, temptations or whatever. And we get into the dangers ourselves. It's important that we put a stop to it as quickly as possible and confess it to God and remove the opportunity for the temptation that we don't face that again. We see the need of setting an example for other people because you as a Christian are the Bible that many people are going to read. You got a coworker, you got a neighbor, you got a relative. They're not going to church. They're not going to open the Bible and read the Bible. They see spirituality by looking at you. And if your life is what it needs to be, and you can speak up for God to them and share the love of God and the Scriptures with them, you may be able to have an influence in reaching them for the cause of Christ that they will never have in any other way. So it's vital our walk is consistent and our behavior is such that glorifies God. If we follow Jesus in the right way and walk carefully and walk according to His path, then there's no reason that that shouldn't be the result of our lifestyle. I remember when I was a kid growing up around the Newport Fire Station. We helped carry cement blocks to the workers and build a building and all that sort of thing for the Newport Fire Station. And they had the first fire truck, a great old big truck. And I remember when all that got started there in the little community in Newport. And I was a boy, 10 to 12 years of age, and I grew up as became a fireman when I was 16. And after I was married, I was a captain in that fire department and had a crew of men. And we'd pull duty. Sadly, it was on Sundays all the time. And pull duty and go out and fight fires for people. In volunteer fire departments, you're primarily trying to help save property and lives. You're not going to get, if you get a mobile home or a small house that's already engulfed in fire by the time you get there, probably not going to save it, but you might save the one next door to it, and you might save the barn. Or if the barn's on fire, you might save the house. So there's a real need for it. And most of them now have got on the tax basis for the people that live in that area, and they produce some really good fire departments that the men go through the same training that the paid fire departments require. And it's a real asset to a community. It lowers your tax insurance and all that. Anyway, I grew up around that thing, and there's a bunch of boys always hanging around. And the older boys would always want to take the younger boys snipe hunting for the first time. And these older boys, they were about 4 years older than me, they took me snipe hunting. They gave me a flashlight and a paper bag, and I was supposed to go way down in the woods where they put me, and I was supposed to shine the light in that bag, and they were going to go, they were beating around on the bushes and all, and they said those snipers run in that bag. They real fast, you got to be careful, you know, you got to watch. And I'll, you know, give you all this hammed up real good, you know, about, boy, catch them things, they great to eat and all that kind of thing. You know, there is a bird called a snipe. It's about the size of a quail, and it flies very fast. They live in the swamp areas, got a long beak. And so, you know, they're going to take a snipe hunting. Well, they took me way down in the woods, dark at night, and wasn't but just a little while, I started figuring out they were gone. They left me down there. And I started getting a little scared, you know, being down there by myself in the woods at night. One of them started howling like a wolf, you know, and stuff like that. And so I went back up and I found my way back up to the fire department. They didn't take me quite far enough down in the woods. I was able to find my way back pretty good. Here they were all around the campfire giggling and all that sort of thing, you know. They influenced me and they wanted to teach me something. Well, the bad thing is older boys often teach younger boys immoral things. They teach them to smoke. They teach them to drink. They teach them to take drugs. They teach them immoral things with girls. And the older boys influence the younger boys because the younger boys want to be older. I talked to a kid back here who's 3 years old. Boy, he was really proud of the fact he was 3 years old now. He was two, but now he's three. He's big now, you know. Our grandson Benjamin has turned four. He thinks he's big now. I'm 4 years old now. And these little ones always want to be older. You know, when you're 16, you want to be 18. When you're 18, you want to be 21. And then when you get 25, you wish you could start turning it back the other way, you know. But we're influenced by people who are older than us in morals, in religion, and some in alcohol and drugs. It's vital we teach our young people to walk carefully, to avoid the dangers, to see the traps that are there for what they are, and to avoid the sinful way. We'll gain wisdom through the Word of God and through the influence of Christian people that we might avoid some of those traps that some of us have fallen in and that we've seen others fall prey to. Secondly, the second aspect of the Christian character, redeeming the time. Verse 16. Because the days are evil. You and I have a role of responsibility as a Christian, as a dad, as a mom, as a husband and a wife, and God expects us to live up to the role that we have. We're to make the most of the opportunity that we have while we have the opportunity, because opportunities pass right on by. Redeeming the time, the word time is kairos, not chronos, where we get the English word chronology. It refers to not a minute or an hour, but to a period of time. You have a period of time for influence in your home, in your family, and with your children. And if you don't make the most of that opportunity, you won't be able to regain it, because once it's gone, it's gone. Doesn't mean God can't work on the hearts of people and bring them back to where they need to be, but our opportunity is gone. We better learn to make the most of what we have while we have it. Make Christ preeminent in our life. Make our family a great priority. Make church a priority and a spiritual life. And we don't have unlimited time for these things. You don't have unlimited time to play. You don't have unlimited time to go to school. You don't have unlimited time to build a career. It is good if you can get your education while you're young. I promise you, I went back to school after I was married and working 40 hours a week and had a kid, and it's tough to do that. You got to be tough if you're going to do that. You go to school 40 hours, or go to work 40 hours a week and then go to school full time, and you're not going to be able to spend much time at home. I'm amazed that while I was going through Bible college, we had two more children born because I was hardly ever home. You know, I was either asleep or at work or at school, and you know, it was tough. So it'd be better to do that before you get involved with those responsibilities. But if you want to better yourself, you can do it. But it's going to be tough to do that. You can lose what's important to you sometimes by putting too much emphasis on the time you spend on other things. I read there's an ancient Greek statue of a man with winged feet. On the front of his head is a very large lock of hair, but all around the back he's bald. And the inscription reads, "Who made thee?" The answer is, "Lysippus made me." "What is thy name?" it asks. And the answer is, "Opportunity." "Why are there wings on your feet?" "Because I fly away swiftly." "Why the great lock of hair in the front?" "That men might be able to seize me when I come by." And then, "Why are you bald on the back?" "Because when I'm gone, no one can lay hold of me to bring me back." Scripture says we're to buy back our opportunity. We're to redeem the time. You may not have it again. James warns you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. So we're to say, if it's the grace of God, we'll do this or we'll do that. We'll make our plans, always submitting to the will of God and the grace of God, that He might lead us. Some learn a lesson, and they work harder to get ahead. It's vital we build up our faith, that we build up our homes, that we build up our children, because our days are numbered. The psalmist said, "Teach me to number my days. Help me to be aware of the time I have to live, the opportunities that are there for me to take while the time is right." Paul had understanding from the Lord with revelations from God. He wrote in 2 Thessalonians that the mystery of iniquity is already at work. That's why it says the days are evil. So we have to take advantage of our opportunities because the days are evil. I believe Paul had understanding of the persecution that was coming from Rome. He experienced some of it himself in prison and beatings and all those things. But in 70 AD, just 10 years after Paul finished his writings, probably, the great persecution from Rome came upon the Jews and Christians, and multitudes were slaughtered. And Paul had insight to warn people about what was coming, the idolatry of Greece and the immorality of Rome and the cities came to fruition in persecution. And Paul's warning us to be prepared for the crisis that is to come. I think that's important. I think we all ought to be prepared for some crisis that could come. It could come a severe storm like these people in Houston, Texas have just experienced. Those that were more prepared for that will fare much better than those who've made no preparation at all. And too many people don't live within their means. They're in debt up to their hairline, hoping they're going to stay employed, hoping they're going to make more money, hoping they're going to win the Reader's Digest sweepstakes, hoping something's going to come along, hoping their car will hold out to the end. I mean, you know, we got to get prepared for some crisis. My wife and I just had a little crisis. We have a camper. My wife has a camper. I have a truck. And the front air conditioner went out. It was not even 4 years old. And if it had been 2 years old, they would have replaced it. We only used it five or six times. And because the central air in the camper is enough most of the time, unless it's extremely hot and unless we're out right out in the sun. And so we don't always even use the front air conditioner. Well, it quit working. We had to replace it. It cost us $1,100. So we had the money set aside for that kind of thing. We paid for it. It wasn't a problem. But then I came home from the campground and found two rooms of the house flooded. The hot water heater had gone out. Well, they have a tendency to do that when they're 21 or 22 years old, you know, and I couldn't complain about that at all. That thing lasted a great amount of time. But we got all of it mopped up, and we had to go buy a dehumidifier. It cost us a couple hundred bucks to get the vaporized the carpet and the walls and all that sort of thing, you know, and pay $1,100 to have a new 50-gallon hot water heater put in. And then we started hearing some noise up in the attic. We were at the campground for 2 weeks, came back home to sleep, started hearing noise. We can hear the gable vent, the aluminum, prying open. Something's getting in there. And I found out it was bats. And so we got a couple of bats in the attic. We got one out on the front porch with this circular vent out there. He goes in the back and goes up in there. We saw him a couple of times going up in there. So we call exterminator. They come out and look, said, well, the only thing you can do basically put wire over the opening so they can't get in. So they beat and bang, tried to see if they could run a bat out of there, if there was one in there or not. Nothing came out, so they put the wire up. That night, the bat comes out. We're sitting on the front porch. Here he comes crawling out. He's sitting on the wire looking at us. Like, let me out, let me out. So that goes on for a couple of days. So I take the wire, I get a ladder, take the wire loose, and get up there and prop it open. So it's got a little place about this long, about that wide, so he can get out, you know. He don't come out for an hour. He got his head sticking down right here. I see that much of his head sticking down, you know. Finally, after an hour later than usual, he comes on down. And he walks around the wire a little bit, and right out that hole he goes. But he don't leave. He just sits up there. I think he was getting weak. He'd been stuck up there for a couple of days. So I get the ladder, and I go over and I take the block out, and he won't leave. So I get one of the kids' toys, a plastic rake, and I reach up there and move him. Then he flies right into my forehead. Bam! I slip a step on the ladder, and my arm goes into the wire and cuts me all down my arm right there. I'm bleeding all over the place, and I get the wire put back together. Well, it's a lot harder on the ends of the house where the gable vent is to get it open, and we haven't heard a bat come out yet because they'd have to pry that aluminum to get out. We think we got a couple probably died in the attic. Thank God we got a ventilated roof, so that smell hopefully is going up instead of coming down. And sadly, I think a couple of them have probably died up there. Bats are good to have. They eat their weight in mosquitoes every night. And they don't harm anybody. But you don't want them living in the attic of your house. And so we paid to have the wire put up and paid to buy this stuff that's supposed to help get rid of them, you know, a little bit and things like that. It was a little bit of a crisis to have all three of those things happen at one time. But you know what? We've listened to Dave Ramsey. We have an emergency fund. We got some money put aside. We don't just go buy something because we got money. We put money aside. We save money. We're getting prepared for the future. We're living within our means. And so we're able to take care of the cost of that, and we thank the Lord for it. Plus, I got a good job, you know, and I'm thank the Lord for that. Thirdly, it's imperative that we're filled with the Spirit. In verse 18 says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It's an imperative, meaning a command, that we are filled with the Spirit as Christians. We need a daily submission to God and His will and not living in the flesh so the Holy Spirit can guide us. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I wish to God that the Holy Spirit's voice was as loud as my voice is right now. But it is not. It is like that cartoon with the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other shoulder. The Holy Spirit just gives you a little whisper. You know that wasn't the right way to handle that. You know? And you know. You know it wasn't the right way to handle it. But He is not loud and demanding and forceful. You got to want Him to guide you. You got to want His help. You got to yield yourself to know the Holy Spirit's leading in your life. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Don't be unwise in these things. Yield yourself to God moment by moment. And the righteous man falleth seven times and riseth up again. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to do the wrong thing. You're going to have a bad attitude. But a husband and wife can encourage one another when they see that kind of thing taking place. and help each other get back on the right track. For the time's sake, I'm not going to turn and read it, but I had in my notes Romans 6, 11 through 13, which teaches us to yield to righteousness and not to yield to unrighteousness, and I hope you'll read that today. Ephesians said, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess." Biblical wine that it refers to is no different than homemade grape juice. It is not intended to have a strong alcoholic content. But wine can make people joyous and happy and singing. But the Holy Spirit can do that in a spiritual way. When you're filled with the Spirit, you're happy, you have joy, you sing, you make melody in your heart unto God. And that pleases the Lord. Turn with me. I promise I'll finish as quickly as possible here in the book of Proverbs. It's vital we look at some of these in Proverbs. Chapter 23. Biblical wine that Jesus drank was new wine or good wine. It was like homemade grape juice. It has a natural sugar. If it's kept in a wine skin for months and months and months, it can work and have a slight alcoholic content, possibly even to 1% alcohol. Therefore, you'd have to drink an awful lot of it to become intoxicated. But strong drink is where wine is mixed with yeast and other sugars to have it cause an alcoholic content. And that's what beer and wine in the grocery stores are today. 6 to 14% alcohol or more. Liquor, bourbon, whiskey, all of that is 40 to 50 proof. That means it is, 40 to 50% alcohol, which means it's 80 to 100 proof. And it is the intent to make a person intoxicated and the results that happen because of it. Proverbs 23 and verse 19 says, "Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that beget thee, despise not thy mother when she is old." And then drop down to verse 29. "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright." That's the fermentation process. Not to have anything to do with it when it's like that. It'll make you drunk. It'll make you say things you ought not say. It'll make you get immoral. It'll make you take your clothes off. It'll make you speak evil things. It'll make you do immoral things. God said, stay away from it when it's fermented and have nothing to do with it. "At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of the mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They've beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I wake?" Here's the sad part. "I will seek it yet again." Over and over. Chapter 20, verse number 1 says, "Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is unwise." All beer, wine, Rhine coolers, whiskey, champagne, all of that is strong drink according to the Bible. It is fermented for the process of an alcoholic content that will make you intoxicated. God said, stay away from it. It will destroy you. It will cause harm in your marriage. It'll cause harm in your health. It'll cause harm in your moral life. DUIs, 25,000 people a year die because somebody's drunk on the highway driving when everybody else is trying to get to where they want to be. My dad made wine. He was an old drunkard, drank a quart of liquor every day for 40 years. We were ashamed of him. He was immoral. We would never bring somebody to our home because he'd come home drunk, no telling what he'd say or do or how he would act. He'd go to the beach and get out there in the waves drunk, and his swimming suit would fall off, and he lost his false teeth. And I mean, just horrible things like that as a child growing up. That was the example I was to follow in my dad. And I hated him for those things. And then when I got old enough, I started doing the exact same thing. God, in his grace and mercy, saved my wife and me when we were 24 years of age and changed our life and gave us a different view and set us on a path to walk. He picked us up out of the miry clay and washed us and cleansed us and made us whole and gave us hope of heaven and a path to follow that would serve him and please him. Peter said, live in our time according to the lust of men versus the will of God. In the past, we've lived as pagans in lasciviousness, which means excess and absence of restraint, in shameless conduct, in the lust of evil desires expressed in our bodily activities, the excess of wine, riotous conduct, lack of self-control, being a brawler, spoiling other people's lives. Older teenage boys, younger girls are sometimes attracted to them because they're older, because they're handsome, because they're a little bit of a bad boy. I married a girl that was 2 years behind me in school. She's just a year younger than me. Her birthday comes late, and so she was 2 years behind me in school. I had a lot more chance of a girl that was younger wanting me than a girl that was my same age. And you're a brawler. These boys of that age who aren't moral, they got one thing on their mind with girls, and that's to get them in the back seat of the car and ruin their reputation. And then many of them won't have anything to do with them after that takes place. And they'll tell other people. You say, you got to keep this quiet. Yeah, they'll keep it quiet just till they can get back to where they're going. You young girls think you're in love. You think that's somebody you're going to marry. You think that's somebody you... He wants you to prove your love to him. He doesn't love you. If he did, he'd understand that you're to stay abstinent until the time of marriage comes around. Revelings, the consequences of drunkenness and rioting. Banquetings. That's what they did down in Babylon. They created this big feast and they all got drunk and they started toasting idols with the vessels from the temple of God that they'd taken captive. And when they did that, a hand wrote on the wall. And they called Daniel in and he interpreted the writing for them that because of what the king had done, he was weighed in the balances and found lacking. And that night his kingdom would be taken away and his life would be taken away because of what he did. My friend, God's serious about this thing of what he says in his word. He offers grace and mercy to those that will come and be saved. He offers a shelter in the time of storm to those who will come to him and find that shelter in the grace and mercy of God. But how long will he offer it? I have no way to know what to tell you. How many times you'll have to reject the Lord. Our family was associated with a young man in his 30s who'd had back trouble. But he was a little bit of a con artist. He didn't want to work. He wanted to be on disability. And he was spending all his disability money for oxycodone. He's going to the same doctor's office, one in Rock Hill, one in Pineville, and getting prescriptions and taking double the prescription. Until one night he took a 38 and stuck it in his mouth and blew his brains out. His wife and daughter were in a room across the hall. The rent hadn't been paid. The insurance hadn't been paid. Power bill hadn't been paid. They hardly had food to eat. And he went out and bought a goat that day. And his stole from his family. Had the same name as his daddy. So he got his daddy's mail and sent off for a credit card in his daddy's name with his daddy's Social Security and spent $40,000 against his daddy's name. The police said, sir, you got one of two options. You either pay the $40,000 or you put him in jail and deny that you're going to pay for it. And they didn't put him in jail because they'd never made him pay for any wrong he'd ever done. And then that day finally came where he got out in the darkness of all of his deeds and saw the future that he had from what he'd done, and he stuck a pistol in his mouth and blew his brains out. Just 30 years old, or 32, or whatever he was at that time. What suffering it brought to that poor mom and dad. He was an only child. What suffering it brought to the wife and child. What suffering it brought to other people. When people get into drink or drugs, they abuse their children. Number one cause for abuse. They get poverty. They have to live off the welfare system and the government apartments and all of that sort of thing because they don't have enough money to live because somebody's drinking it all up. They become thieves and beggars. We have them come to the church all the time. All their teeth are rotted out. They look like a crack whore. And they want money from the church to buy something, and what they want to buy is more drugs. And we have to be very careful about trying to help people like that. We put gas in their car, buy a meal for them at the store, but we don't just hand people money because we know those that are tempted to do something wrong with it. Over and over through the years, we've run the bus ministry out here to pick up kids, and we've gone to houses where they ask us for money to pay their rent or their power bill or to buy groceries, and there's 100 beer cans laying around the front steps from the party they've had over the weekend. It'll put them, make them beggars and thieves. They'll steal from their mama. They'll steal from their grandmother and granddaddy. Poor people living off their Social Security, they'll steal their lawnmower and sell it so they can buy some drugs or alcohol or whatever. Here's the last thing. Being filled with the Spirit means we've been delivered from the past and we have a new walk with God. And I'll stop right there. We need the Holy Spirit of God in our life. We need to walk with God. We need God's help. These are steps of Christian character that we need for our marriages to be strong, our homes to be valid, and our families to be raised in the right way. I'm certainly not a perfect dad. I fail all the time. But I'm thankful God saved my wife and me when the oldest child we had was just 1 year old. She don't remember seeing me drunk. She don't remember seeing me drinking. My other kids have never heard me yell out cuss words at my wife. They've never seen us drinking alcohol. We've never set a bad example for them. We've turned the channel on the TV, or we've turned it off. We brought them to church every time the doors were open. We pray for them. We try to set a good example. Are we perfect? Absolutely not. We fail all the time. But there's a big difference in a Christian who walks with God and makes mistakes and fails and sins and confesses it to God than people who choose to live according to the desires of their flesh. And they reap destruction in their marriage, in their home, in their family. We need God's help and we need the filling of the Spirit of God. Let's stand together. Lord, we thank you for your word. I thank you for the patience of your people in listening this morning. I pray that something that's been said will be practicality for them to help them and help them to avoid the dangers and the problems and the pitfalls of the world. Lord, many things happen outside our control, but I believe you hold us responsible for what is within our control. So help us to make right choices and decisions, and help us enjoy the filling of the Holy Spirit that we might sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and make melody in our heart to the Lord, thankful for all you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.